Okay, today's reading is Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, which can be found on page 1174 of the Church Bibles. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So today we have a confirmation, and when we come to the confirmation in a few minutes' time, we're going to ask for something. And as I was saying a moment ago, when I lay hands upon people at this front of church here, I'm doing that on behalf of all of you, and I will say this prayer. I will say this prayer, which is... When I lay hands and I say, God has called you by name, made you his own, confirm, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit. And so at the heart of confirmation is this very simple prayer that the church has always prayed for people who believe in Jesus, a prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confirm, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit. Now I want to dig into a little bit what we mean when we ask that question. Because when we say that prayer, what are we actually asking for? And this passage from the book of Ephesians that we had read a few moments ago really gives us, I think, an insight into what that prayer really means. Now, this comes in right in the middle of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And it was a church that really mattered quite a lot to St. Paul. Now, I had the privilege a couple of years ago of actually going to Ephesus. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's quite a remarkable kind of place with a lot of the buildings from St. Paul's time still there, and there's this long street, and you can kind of imagine St. Paul, the very first time he visited, just going as a sort of lonely apostle, just wandering into this very kind of large, maybe intimidating city. And in the time he was there, gradually this church grew, and remarkable things happened, all kinds of miracles took place, and this church of people who believed in Jesus in the middle of this big Greek city came into being. And as he writes to the Ephesians a little bit later on, he writes this letter to them. In the first couple of chapters of the book of Ephesians, he lays out the gospel, the good news of Jesus as he understands it. And he talks about how Jesus has brought them from death to life and the spiritual blessings that have been given in Christ. And then he comes to this bit in the middle of the letter, in the bit that we call chapter 3. St. Paul didn't actually have chapters in his letters, but we're going to put those in afterwards so we can find our way around. But we get to this bit in chapter 3, where he starts to think about what he's going to pray for them. Now, I think he would have thought quite carefully what he was going to pray for these people that really mattered to him. Because it's true of any pastor or vicar, if you spend a lot of time with people that you care for and whose faith you've seen growing, they really matter to you. You really want the best for them. And so this is St. Paul wanting the very best for these Christians. And so what he says is, I think, three things that can help us understand what we are praying for you. Because what St. Paul prayed for the Ephesians is, in a sense, what I am praying, what we are praying for you who get confirmed today. And the first thing he prays is this. He says this. He prays that according, it says to God, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. In other words, he asks God for this gift of the Holy Spirit for them. And he asked specifically for the gift of the Holy Spirit because it's the Spirit that will strengthen them. Now that is, if you like, the first thing we're praying for you today. We are praying for strength for you. Now we're not praying for physical strength for you. I guess we all kind of know we need a certain degree of physical strength. I don't know how many of you go to the gym. Who goes to the gym regularly here? A few people, yeah, it's pretty good. Some people go to the gym because we want to get some physical strength inside us. Even if you don't go to the gym, you need some physical strength to get about, do the things you need to do around life. But this is not about physical strength. This is not outer strength, strength in your body. It's inner strength. It's strength in your heart, in your soul, and your mind. And so what he prays for them is that they will find a new strength, a new inner strength, a new kind of steel inside them, a new determination. And that's what we're praying for you today as you get confirmed. We're praying that you will find a new inner strength that you maybe didn't always have before. Because, well, to put it bluntly, you're going to need it. Because one of the things you're doing here today is in front of this whole congregation and maybe family and friends who've come here today, you are saying that you are going to be a follower of Jesus. And you are setting the rest of your course of your life to do that. And if you are to be a Christian, you are going to need inner strength. Because it's not easy being a Christian today. Maybe it's never easy being a Christian, but maybe particularly so. Today, if you let it be known that you are a Christian, if you talk about your faith at work or amongst your family or amongst your neighbors, you may find people sort of snigger a little bit. Or they might laugh at you behind your back. It's not always a pathway to popularity to say that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. There'll be an element of you swimming against the tide of the culture around us. And that's not easy. If you've ever tried to swim against the tide of a river or the tide of a sea, it's really not an easy thing to do. You really have to work hard. You need inner strength to do that. You will need inner strength to love the people that God calls you to love. Because as Christians, we're called to love not just our family and friends, because that's most of the time relatively easy to do, not always. But we're also called to love our neighbors, whoever they happen to be, and we're even called to love our enemies. And loving your enemies is pretty hard. Loving someone who doesn't love you, someone who makes life difficult for you, someone who hates you, loving that person, that's really difficult, and that's going to take inner strength. And again, it's not easy to do the right thing. You know that feeling, those times when you're faced with a choice and you kind of know you could do this or you could do that, and you know that this is the right thing to do and that is the wrong thing to do, but the wrong thing is an awful lot easier to do than the right thing. And no one's going to know if you do the wrong thing, not immediately, and the temptation to do the wrong thing is so strong. Now to resist that temptation and to do the right thing, however much it costs you, that takes inner strength as well. And so today we are praying for that inner strength for you, that courage to be a Christian, that courage that it's always taken to be a Christian, that courage to stand out from the crowd, not to follow the path that everyone else takes, to take that path that may sometimes feel quite lonely, to live as a follower of Jesus is the best way of living there is. But it's not always the easiest way of living there is. And so there's the first thing that Paul asks for these Christians in Ephesus and what we're asking for you, for that inner strength. But then, of course, we ask the question, how does that inner strength happen? How does that inner strength actually take root in your life? And that's when we get a particular image that Paul uses here in this reading. Because he then goes on to use this phrase, describing the people he's praying for, the people in the church in Ephesus, he says that they are rooted and grounded in love. I remember back in, I think it was November, early in the winter, I went for a walk in our local park, and it was just after one of those storms had come through. I think it was called Storm Ashley. They always give a name to different storms, don't they? And I think that's what it was. And I remember going to this park where I normally walk, and it was a kind of scene of carnage, because there were trees that were normally there in the park, and some of them were still standing. An awful lot of them had been blown down in the storm. And there was kind of wreckage and wood and branches and trees kind of everywhere. And as I was walking amongst these trees, I got myself to thinking, well, how is it that some trees seem to have stood tall and survived this storm, and some of them just fell over? It was the same storm, it was the same wind, but some trees stood and some fell. And as I thought about it, I realized that the difference between the trees that fell and the trees that stood was nothing to do with what they looked like on the outside. There were some pretty big, impressive-looking trees that had come down. But the thing that made the difference as to whether the tree stood firm in the storm and the trees that fell was the roots. That was the thing that made the difference. That the trees that had strong roots that went deep into strong soil, they kind of stood firm. But the trees that were either in rather shallow soil or where the roots really hadn't gone very deep, those were the trees that had fallen flat. And it's a kind of reminder to us that roots matter. And it asked us the question, where are your roots? What is the soil in which the roots of your life are planted? And how deep do those roots go? What is the thing that sustains you every day, day after day after day? What soil is your life planted in? Now, I know from reading the testimonies that all of you can read at the back of the service booklet, that each of you have encountered something of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And today is a day when you are being invited yet again to put your roots deep into the love of God for you in Jesus Christ. Because that's what will make you strong, if your roots are deep. Of course, there are some people who think that you're strong if you're independent, if you can stand on your own two feet. And that may sound fine until, of course, life hits you hard. And some of you know that very well already. When you lose a loved one, when you fail your exams, you fall sick, or you go through a time of real difficulty in your life. Because, of course, the truth is, you are strong not if you are independent, but if you are dependent on the God who loves you and on the Christ who died for you and rose again for you. In other words, you are strong if you know you are loved. And the more you realize that you are sustained every day by the love of God in Jesus Christ, the stronger you will be. In a moment, when we do the confirmation, it always strikes me when I do this that I don't just wave my hand generally over you and say, Lord, confirm you all. I go down one by one and I mention you by name. And as I do that, you're to take that as a sign, not that I recognize you, but that God recognizes you. God knows your name. He knows your story. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he knows your future. And all of those are in his hands. There is nowhere safer you can be than in the hands of Jesus. And you're invited to put your roots deep into that soil of the knowledge of the love of God in Jesus Christ for you, and to remind yourself of it constantly. I don't know if you know the story of Alexei Navalny, who was a Russian dissident, who was imprisoned and then murdered by the agents of President Putin. And quite recently, his diaries were published, and they revealed a really quite profound Christian faith that he had. And there's a part in his diaries where he writes about a time which was particularly tough for him. And he wrote this. He said, ask yourself whether you're a Christian in your heart of hearts. Are you a disciple of the religion whose founder sacrificed himself for others, paying the price for their sins? If you can honestly answer yes, what is there left to worry about? Don't worry about tomorrow, because the morrow is perfectly capable of taking care of itself. My job is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and just leave the rest to Jesus. He won't let me down. He will sort all out all my headaches. And as they say here in prison, he will take my punches for me. That's kind of a little picture of what it means to find that inner strength of being rooted and grounded in love. He had spent years reading, believing, trusting, which meant that when the storm of life hit, and when he found himself in prison, when he was facing even the prospect of dying for the things that he had stood up for, he found his roots were strong, and he was able to stand firm. Roots are, by their very nature, hidden. You can't see them. But it's the things that you do in secret, the things that no one else sees, that determines whether you find that inner strength or not. I was saying to the candidates just before our service today of how important it is to build that habit into your life of making sure that every day you spend some time allowing God to speak to you in the Bible, speaking to him about what's on your heart and your mind. Because what happens when you do that, when you make sure every day there's a bit of time when you allow God to speak to you and you speak to God, it reminds you again and again of God's great love for you in Jesus Christ, that he knows your past, your present, and your future. Because we need to be reminded of that. We kind of tend to forget it if we don't keep reminding ourselves. And so building in those habits, those disciplines of the Christian life, reading something of the Bible every day, allowing God to speak to us, talking to God about what's on our hearts and our minds, things we need to say sorry for, things we're thankful for, making sure we're here, we gather with God's people once a week to make sure we are encouraged and we encourage them. Maybe meeting in a small group where you can pray with others. Maybe you can find a way of serving those who are less well off than you are, practicing love. Those are the things that will take your roots deeper into the soil of God's love for you. So that's how we find that inner strength. The more convinced we are, the more we remind ourselves again and again of God's great love for us in Jesus Christ, the stronger we are as people, and the more likely it is that we will be able to remain standing when the storms of life hit. But then there's the third thing that St. Paul says in this reading. He says that if you do this, if you find this inner strength by being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, God will be able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. In other words, if you offer your life to God, and if you give it wholeheartedly to him, he will make far more of your life than ever could have happened with it otherwise. Because what God does is he takes what we offer him and he magnifies it. It's a little bit like what's happening to my voice right now. I'm just speaking in a normal voice, but I guess those of you in the back can hear me all right. You can? Good. Because this is one of a little thing called a microphone, and it's taking my voice and it's amplifying it, making it stronger than it would normally be on its own. It's not making up new words. I'm saying the words, but it's taking my voice and amplifying it. That's what the Holy Spirit does when we give ourselves to Christ. A number of years ago, I was in Germany. And went to the German city of Leipzig, which used to be in the old East Germany. And I had this story of what happened there in 1989, or just years before that. And there was a Christian in Leipzig. He was a man called Christian Führer. And he was very conscious, this was during the time of the East German regime, where East Germany was a pretty difficult place to live. There was very little freedom, there was very little liberty to express people's views, very difficult, especially as Christians. So it was very difficult to be a Christian in that environment. And he felt God calling him to pray for change, to pray that somehow this nation would find new freedoms and that it might be possible to speak of Christian faith and for people to find freedom in the old East Germany. And so he started to pray. And then he got a few friends of his to pray. And they met in a church, the Nikolai Kirche, the St. Nicholas Church in the middle of Leipzig. And there were nine of them. And they would meet week after week and after week to pray. And people in the city kind of heard about this little prayer meeting that was happening in this church in Leipzig. And so people started coming along. Some people who were used to praying, some people who weren't used to praying. And it wasn't long before there was tens, hundreds, even thousands of people gathering for these meetings where they would pray and they would read and they would talk and they would think about a possible future for East Germany. And as the government heard about these prayer meetings, and they were getting rather kind of big and rather kind of, they weren't that unruly, but they were unruly as far as the government were concerned. They tried to stop them, but they couldn't do it. Until there was one day when they decided, this group within the church in Leipzig, to hold a march, and they called people around Leipzig to march. And into their absolute astonishment, 70,000 people turned up and started marching around the city of Leipzig. And the secret police heard about this, and the forces of the government came out with guns, prepared for a sort of pitched battle. But of course, the people who had led this prayer meeting had briefed their people very well and said, look, we're not going to fight anyone. We're going to go around, we're going to hold candles, and we're going to pray. And so they walked around the city, they had candles, they sang, and they prayed. And one of the police chiefs later on said, well, we were kind of prepared for knives and guns and bullets. We weren't prepared for candles and prayers. And that was one of the moments that sparked off what became eventually the fall of the Berlin Wall. That remarkable revolution in East Germany, across the entire center of Europe. One man, simply being obedient to what God called him to do. God called him to pray. And he changed an entire nation. Well, he didn't change it. God changed it. Now, it may not be that you are called to do something quite dramatic like that, but it's a little picture of what can happen if you simply seek to be obedient to what God has called you to do and to be. I remember confirming some people a number of years ago in a parish church in my Episcopal area. There were three women there, and their three husbands, all six of them being confirmed. And I asked them how they'd come to church. And it started with one of them, one of the sisters, who had a baby, turned up at the church because she thought she ought to bring the baby to be baptized. She found faith during this and then went to her sister and simply said, look, I found this amazing thing, this church, Jesus, would you come to church with me? And her sister came along, and then they asked the other sister, and then they asked their husbands, and the husbands came along as well. And again, it just struck me, this one simple little thing, this one sister, who kind of came along to church, and then took the courage of saying to her sister, would you come along to church with me as well? And so, the thing I guess this teaches us, maybe especially for those of you being confirmed today, is to ask the question, what is God asking me to do? And maybe in the days following today, the day of your confirmation or baptism, you may want to make that a special prayer. God, what do you want me to do for you? What's the one thing you're calling me to do? Maybe the one thing that I can do that no one else can do. Is there someone or something you want me to pray for? To keep praying for? Is there someone you want me to talk to? Is there some thing that I need to give myself to, serving those who are less fortunate than I am, that God is calling you to? Because the promise remains that when you seek that very thing and you realize what God is calling you to and you give yourself to it, God is able to do far more with your life than you ever might imagine. One last thing before we come to the end of this talk. That sense of offering your life to God can seem quite hard, because you're giving up control. You're giving up the sense of, okay, I can manage, I'm independent, I can do it myself. There can be an element of sacrifice in the Christian faith. But Jesus often told stories of seeds planted in the ground. Seeds that are planted deep in the ground, and it looks like they're lost, it looks like they're buried, it looks like they've disappeared. But then something happens to the seed, it begins to germinate, and suddenly, soon, it begins to grow. And before you know where you are, there's a whole bush or a whole field of corn or whatever it might be. But unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it does not bear fruit. There is sacrifice in the Christian life. There's no such thing as a Christian life without sacrifice. But only by giving up our lives for Christ can it yield that fruit. And so today, we are asking for that gift of the Holy Spirit that will strengthen you in your inner being. And you will find that strengthening when you are rooted and grounded in love, reminding yourself again and again of God's great love for you, putting your roots down deep into that love. And as you do that, and as you offer yourself to God, my prayer, and I guess all our prayers today, is that God will be able to do far more with you than you ever imagined. Amen. We're going to have our prayers now, which I think are going to be led by Leslie.